Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the closing sentences of his epistle to the Galatians, St. Paul restates his entire theme in these words: "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." His reason for writing the epistle to the Galatians was to combat an enticing but pernicious preaching of men who had followed his visit to them with a so-called gospel of their own, which was not another gospel, but a damning doctrine of works. They preached a return to requiring circumcision, if for no other reason than to avoid persecution by the Jews. After all, why endure persecution if it's not necessary? Paul had written, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." So that's it. It's about the cross, about that instrument also known throughout the scriptures as a tree. The Jewish mode of executing criminals, as you know, was by stoning. Already in the days of Moses, to be hanged on a tree after one had been executed was a badge of unutterable shame. Hear the closing words of Deuteronomy 21. "If a man has committed a crime punishable by death and he is put to death," that is by stoning, "and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." It was so shameful to be hanged on a tree that even to leave a corpse hanging overnight would defile the whole land. Earlier in his Galatian epistle, Paul had written, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." Any connection with Deuteronomy 21? Most certainly. That's why it says what it says. To become a curse or to be accursed is to be made sin. As the apostle also wrote to the Corinthians, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin." It is not at all surprising then that the same apostle would tell the Romans that boasting is excluded, not by the works of law, but by faith. It was not for nothing, dear friend, that our Lord Jesus suffered ignominious shame and the curse of God, for in doing so, he received your wages, death. For the wages of sin is death. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. So, you say, I understand that there is no worse curse than the cross. But how then can the apostle speak of boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here, Luther would say, You must put away human reason and follow the reason of the Holy Spirit. What glory is there in the cross, in death, in persecution, for the sake of confessing Christ? To suffer persecution for the sake of confessing Christ is not the same as to suffer for obnoxious behavior. Here you must distinguish between those who confess Christ without fear, and those who are simply looking for a fight, regardless of the cause. On the other hand, reason sees the happy Christian and successful churches in terms of wealth, of outward peace, esteem, and a knack for living in harmony with other religions and cultures of the time. Reason sees Christianity and all other religions as being of value, equal value, in fact. It is deemed to be unacceptable arrogance to think, and much less to say, that there is eternal life and salvation in no other name under heaven than in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Why assault the sensibilities of people by saying such a thing? And that's the only point, after all, of the Judaizers. They saw themselves not as advocates of a raw paganism, but as merely trying to create a smooth seam between the works of the law and the grace of Christ. And so Paul said that they would compel circumcision, his words again, in order that they might not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. What is Paul's answer to this? It is a paradoxical statement that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything but a new creation. Wouldn't either one or the other of them somehow have to count for something? Consider this. When Christ ate the Passover with his disciples in the upper room, he brought it to its end and then instituted his Holy Supper, the New Testament, in his blood. The Passover was not to be eaten the next year by the people of God, nor ever again. Not only the Passover, but all the laws and ceremonies ordained through Moses, Jesus brought to their end in that upper room. God had ordained and commanded circumcision for Abraham, for his entire household, and for all his descendants. But now that same God abrogated it. The Jews to this day, in their blindness, piously observe the Old Testament rituals that have been abrogated by Christ and are now totally irrelevant. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything. To boast or glory in the cross then would seem to be a contradiction in terms. There is no glory or honor in this instrument of torture as far as the world is concerned. The glory of the cross, though, is the certainty, through God's promises, that the sufferings and death of Christ upon the cross have availed for me. That is what Paul means by boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. Cyril of Jerusalem lived in the 4th century. These words from his catechetical lectures capture the place of the cross in the life of the early church of his time. Let us then not be ashamed to confess the crucified, Let the cross, our seal, made with boldness by our fingers, be on our brow and on everything, over the bread we eat and the cups we drink, in our comings in and our goings out, before our sleep, when we lie down and when we rise up, when we are in the way and when we are still. It is the cross that is the glory of the church. The sufferings and death of Christ for the sin of the world, a concept so loathsome to the world, is the church's precious treasure. Though Christ and the cross be a stumbling block to the Jews and a foolishness to the Greeks, it is by the preaching of the cross that sinners are converted and absolved of their sin. And so Paul's boast is in nothing except the cross. Nothing that the church and its preachers say or do must ever cast doubt on the absolute exclusiveness of that truth. In Isaiah 42, God said, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. The world neither understands this, nor can it abide such talk. It is the burden of our day that also many in high places, even in the church, neither understand nor can abide it. But we close with the words of St. Paul. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.